Rob and I have been talking about doing a podcast like Zen Founder for the past 3 to 4 years. And 2015 was the year that we finally did it. We finally pulled it together. Today is our 50th episode. Given the time of year, we thought it would be timely to spend this episode reflecting on 2015. So to do that, we have invited some of our founder friends to record brief reflections on the things that happened in 2015 that most shaped them. So advice that they received, tactics that they attempted, moments that stood out to them, both personally and professionally. So you'll recognize some past guests and hopefully future guests, people that are doing cool things and that were willing to take a little bit of time and chat with us about it. We're hoping that the change in the calendar offers you a little bit of an opportunity for some personal reflection and the chance to think back on what's gone well in the last year, as well as make some plans and get excited about what's coming in the future. Before we launch into the episode, though, I wanted to take a minute and personally just thank all of you out there who are listening to this podcast. It has been a powerful experience for me to kind of jump into a new professional pond and get to know the founder community, not just as Rob's wife, but as someone who has my own relationships and friendships with people in this community. So thank you for listening to us. Thank you for making us part of your life. Thank you for the amazing support. Thank you for the amazing financial support that we received, as well as the emails and tweets and high fives and just all of the encouragement that you all have sent our way. Rob and I continue to be jazzed about the podcast, and we're excited for what's coming in the new year. Have a safe and happy new year.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
We know this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
This is Dave Collins, and in 2015, I received a really useful piece of advice. It has kind of had a major impact on the way I do a lot of things. I sometimes have a tendency to overcomplicate things and build overly convoluted, complicated systems, which can sometimes mean a lot of preparation, which can sometimes mean there's a delay before actually launching whatever it is that we're trying to do. So an example, during the year, we decided to use an AdWords ebook that we have for a Facebook campaign. It's a very specific campaign to target more technical owners of UK small businesses. Pretty targeted. So what we did, writing the ads was really simple. We already had the actual content, the ebook, but I then got sucked into this vortex of this unbelievably complicated Infusionsoft campaign that was a thing of great beauty. But what it meant was, instead of getting the ads up and running more or less immediately, in 30, 40 minutes, the whole project ground to a halt over the course of weeks because I kept building more and more features to this very over-the-top Infusionsoft campaign. So what I was told by a business advisor was I need to start simple. And it's very simple. It's very, very good advice. But for me personally, for the type of person who's perhaps drawn to complicating things when they don't need to, it can have a major impact. It has definitely made a difference to how I'm working on, especially some of the bigger projects I'm involved in. So I need to fight this urge to complicate, because for me, perfectionism is the enemy of productivity.
Hey everyone, my name is Greg Bogus. I serve on the developer evangelism team for Twilio and also have a newsletter, devsindepression.com. Best resource I found this year is the Tim Ferriss podcast, where his goal is to deconstruct world-class performers. I don't think I've listened to a bad episode yet, but especially the episodes with former Navy SEAL Jocko Willink, filmmaker Robert Rodriguez, and the actor and musician Jamie Foxx. I think I've listened to each one of those two or three times at, say, 2 hours a piece or so. Just incredibly actionable and inspirational advice and tactics from these people who are world-class at what they do. As far as the new tactic that I am started experimenting with this year and hope to continue on next year, this one comes from my friend Ryan Evans, founder of Tend.io. A little bit of context, I have a one-year-old daughter, and basically I've been using her crying as an alarm clock for like the last 6 or 7 months, which means I'm waking up on someone else's terms every morning. I am grumpy, and specifically I am grumpy at her, and I just don't feel like that's a great way to start my day either for her or for me. So talk to Ryan. Ryan's got three young kids, and Ryan sets his alarm for 4:30 in the morning. He gets up, he stretches, he meditates, and then he goes to the coffee shop, and for an hour and a half, he works on the most important thing he has to do that day. Then goes home, gets his kids ready for school, and no matter what happens the rest of the day, no matter how off track things go, he knows that he has at least moved the ball forward on the most important task just a little bit. So I started experimenting with this a month or two ago, and basically take my phone, I leave it in the bathroom when I go to bed at night, which has helped a ton for me falling asleep at night. I just have my Kindle next to my bed now. I set an alarm for 4:30. I set another for 4:50. So my alarm goes off. I don't want to wake up my daughter or my wife, so I basically sprint to the bathroom when that goes off. Shower's right there. Hop in the shower, and then that second alarm goes off 20 minutes later to get me out of the shower because I'm pretty much unconscious for most of the time that I'm in there. And then I got, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours to for myself, you know, and I started the day off on my own terms. And Jocko Willink from the Tim Ferriss podcast talks about, he gets up at 4:30 and talks about the importance of starting your day off with discipline. And when you start off the day with discipline and doing something that's hard and uncomfortable, it sets a precedent for the rest of your day. So a few weeks that I've been experimenting with this, it has made a profound impact on the rest of my day, and really hoping that this this sticks and is something that I carry with me into 2016. So hopefully that's helpful to y'all. You can find me at gb@twilio.com or at Greggy B on Twitter, and have a great new year for everyone.
Hey, this is Jane Portman at uibreakfast.com. My favorite book this year was The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, and it was equally useful in real life, in planning our new apartment, and in professional life, in planning UX design for SaaS founders. The favorite piece of advice belongs to Amy Hoy, who literally showed me that there is life after client work, which encouraged my transition to from consulting to products this year. In 2015, we experimented with a new format at UI Breakfast Podcast. We recorded a few episodes in a row with Kai Davis, and such podcasts in seasons allows to explore the personality of the co-host a lot and also facilitates the recording. My favorite moment in 2015 professionally was MicroConf Europe in Barcelona. It was tremendous to be at home again with the same people for the third time. And personally, my second son grew a lot this year. He's now a little bit over two, and he is singing songs and reciting poems, and this is just great. In 2015, I had a pretty bad burnout in spring because I tried to wear too many hats at once. I hope that doesn't repeat in 2016, and all my achievements come at lower cost than that. But I really love the results. Happy New Year, my friends!
Hey guys, this is Joelle Goldman.
And Matt Goldman.
We're from Churnbuster and the Rocket Ship podcast. And the question that we wanted to kind of take a stab at here, looking back at the year and forward to 2016, is what piece of advice was the most helpful? And we recently spoke with Jason Fried on our podcast, and he said something that really stuck with both of us. That's kind of always been in the back of our heads, but he just articulated it better than we could, which is, the habits that you form early on are the habits that are going to persist through the long term. And this has been really important to us for a few reasons.
Yeah, first up, this really applies to your business. If you're a founder, you're always going to have a huge list of things to do. And that never really gets better. We've been doing this for 2-3 years now. And there's always been this idea that in a few months, it's going to get easier. And it never has. And we're at a point now where we just acquired a company. There's more things to do than ever before. And even now I have this idea that there's going to be a point in a few months where the days are going to get easier or the days are going to get shorter. And I just don't think that's the case. It's not going to happen naturally. You have to do it for yourself. So put in the time now to really plan out your days and have focused time blocks where you're just working. And when that's over, work's going to have to wait till the next day. This will become even more important when you have employees, because if they come into that toxic culture, it's going to be much harder to change the direction of your company at that stage.
Yeah, it really comes down to just being intentional about how you spend your time and your days. And part of that is what Matt was saying in your business and how you plan your workday out. And the other part is making sure you have enough time for yourselves. And this is something that's really important for us since we're married and we work together and we spend probably more hours in a day than most people spend with their spouses or their partners. And so we really have to intentionally set our boundaries of where we want work and life to be every day. And if we don't do that now, it's not going to just magically happen in 6 months.
So to sum it up, take a step back and look at what your days look like. What are the good things? What are the bad things? Are you overworking? Are you working certain days that you wouldn't want to, ideally? Are you not spending enough time with your family? And give yourself permission to plan out the days and really be deliberate about the way that you want to work and the way that you want to live.
Hi, this is Rob. I wanted to answer one of the questions that we sent out to our guests, and this one is about what piece of advice or encouragement was helpful to you during 2015. The best piece of advice I received this year was from Ruben Gomez of BidSketch. He's a friend of mine, and the advice he gave me was that when you're having a lot of success and when things are going up and to the right, lean into that success. Don't sit back and coast. Don't sit back and relax and think, boy, this is going to continue happening forever. I've made it. What I'm doing now is working. And so I should keep doing the same, or that I can't even back off the throttle. Instead, think about how you can take where you're at, use that as a base level, and double down on that. Because what's interesting is it's not about growing faster, and it's not about working 24/7, never backing off and enjoying yourself and taking a vacation, you know, or taking time off. That's not what he's saying here. But the idea is that if you get to a point where you are working and you're actively trying to go towards a goal, but you feel like everything's done and you're not still striving for that next thing, things are going to go south. Something's going to go south on you. Inevitably, some competitor will come up, someone will build more features. That's when you have blind spots, and that's when you're frankly most vulnerable to someone else coming in and swooping in, or Google kicking you in the butt and kicking you out of search rankings, or something happening that you're not ready for. And if you're not on your game and you're not actively trying to grow it, this stuff doesn't last forever. The business we're in of software, it changes too frequently for you to sit back and relax and enjoy a victory for too long. You should celebrate victories, but if things are going well for you, I love this advice. It's to figure out what's working and to treat it like a fire and to keep throwing more and more and more kindling on it and try to build it instead of relaxing and just enjoying the heat and letting it burn.
Hi, this is Sherry. I thought I would take a stab at answering one of the questions that we sent to our participants. And the question I thought I would answer is about advice that I received in 2015 that was important or meaningful to me. And the advice was basically to deconstruct whatever notion I had about work-life balance. It came to me from two different sources kind of at the same time. One was from an article that Jen Miller wrote called F Work-Life Balance that was published on Medium. The other source of this advice was from a book called The Three Marriages, Reimagining Work, Self, and Relationship. And both of these authors are arguing that there is no such thing as work-life balance, that there are very important things that are part of life, and sometimes they are in tension. And all we have is to choose each day how we do that day. Jen, in her article, talks about a passion-driven life and building a day based on the tasks of the day that you throw yourself into. And this, frankly, was really refreshing for me because I historically have spent lots of time making these scheduling charts where I'm trying to play this Tetris game of, can I get all of the clients in? Can I see my kids for enough hours in a day? Can I make sure I schedule in some little moment for exercise? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I eating well? So it's all good things. I'm filling my life with such good things, and I'm so grateful for that. But this idea of keeping all of the boxes in balance has just not been working for me this year. And so it's been a year of just abandoning that and really deciding that, okay, some days are for work and that's my focus. I'm going to throw myself into that, and I might not exercise and I might not see my kids as much as I'd like to. But then there are other days that are about parenting or about other joyful things that are meaningful to me. So I've tried to do away with my scheduling charts that keep everything in line and just let my days be my days. And it's brought so much freedom, and it's felt much less stressful, and has also helped me to be more creative in the way that I integrate work and life, the way that all of the pieces of me are present in my days. I don't mind so much if I need to respond to an email while I'm at the playground. I've started doing yoga at my clinic with my patients. Lots of conversations about this very podcast happen over dinner with the children, and they're part of it. It feels a little more fluid, a little less boxed in. And I don't know if it's balanced. Some days it's probably not, but I just don't care anymore. And that's brought a lot of freedom and fun to 2015.
Hey there, this is Phil Dirksen. An experience I had in 2015 that I hope not to repeat in 2016 is splitting my focus and time between two separate products. The main mistake I feel I made was dedicating my time, mental energy, and money to building and launching a second product long before I had maximized revenue and features for my existing product. On top of that, both products have completely different sets of customers. And so what I was disappointed in was customers of the existing product didn't get features as fast as they should have gotten them. And I believe sales for the existing product also pretty much stayed flatlined throughout the year instead of trending up. The new product I launched, of course, took much more work and development time than I expected, and it was launched with more bugs and less features than I had imagined. So in the future, before starting down the path of building a new product, I will ask myself, has the ceiling of sales growth for my existing product been reached? Can I build new products for my existing customers? And finally, can and is it worth putting the existing product up for sale, such as with a brokerage like Effie International? Thanks, Rob and Sherry, for the great podcast, and all the best to you in 2016.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Rob. Ken Wallace here. I'm working on mastermindjam.com, and I share my experience building that business over on the Nights and Weekends podcast. This year, I found a lot of inspiration from a business book that I just found. I'm not sure if it's brand new or not, but I just stumbled upon it. It's a book by famous Olympic rower Ben Hunt Davis. In this book, he talks about how every decision his British rowing team made leading up to the 2000 Olympics hinged around one central question. That question was, will this make the boat go faster? For every minuscule decision that they faced leading up to the Olympics, that was the test for how they decided to say yes or no. Will going out to the pub for beer tonight make the boat go faster? Yes or no? No? Then it doesn't happen. Will an extra rep on the incline bench press make the boat go faster? Yes or no? If it will, let's do it. So in order to accomplish my goals, while still staying present in my marriage and in my family, while still being effective in my day job, I need to be ruthless and ask the same sort of tough questions. In episode 68 of the Bootstrap with Kids podcast, Scott and Breck gave the advice, and I'll paraphrase here, but they said to be sure you're working above threshold. For all your endeavors, there's a threshold of effort needed to move forward. You can feel really busy working on something, but if it isn't meeting or exceeding that certain threshold, it's just useless activity, and it won't lead to the outcome you're striving for. So as a husband and a father of a large family and an exec at my day job with all the tasks and lists and chores and competing priorities that go along with all of those many hats that I wear, and frankly, a lot of us wear, I find that when I sit down at my computer to work, I have to be ruthlessly productive to get anything done at all. So to that end, I have a sticky note on my monitor here with a simple question: will this make the boat go faster? And when I see it, I ask myself, is this the thing I'm doing right now, at this second, to stay 100% in alignment with my goals? Will this make the boat go faster? Okay, thanks a lot. And here's to a fantastic 2016.
Hey, this is Jordan Gall from Carthook and the Bootstrap Web Podcast. And looking back at 2015, I think the biggest piece of advice that I used and am looking to use in 2016 as well is to keep an eye on momentum. And this has been especially important with a team of people. The mood of the business, the whole feel, the positive energy or the negative energy, it's all dictated by the momentum. And it's kind of a subjective thing. Like, here's an example. A few months ago, we came out of a technical debt hole and started moving a lot faster on sales and marketing, and we felt amazing. Everything was optimistic. Everything was positive. And right now, it's the end of December. We just had our best month ever in terms of growth and revenue, and I still feel pretty crappy right now because, you know, the past week, no one's been doing anything. It's the holidays, and because there isn't forward momentum, there isn't the same level of positive energy and optimism in the company. And I think that's a big lesson, especially when working with other people. So in 2016, I'm going to try to use that lesson and do things like make sure we celebrate when things go well and we acknowledge it, so it helps the energy in the company. Another piece of advice is to double down when things work. Instead of the natural tendency to say, oh, cool, that week went well, that launch went well, that integration partnership happened, and now we can kind of ease back because it looks like we're going to hit our numbers for the month. Instead of doing that, to just double down. Anytime there's momentum and everything feels good and every conversation feels like it's working, instead of pulling back and feeling satisfied, I'm just going to try to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and just keeping an eye on that momentum. It has a huge effect on me personally. It has a huge effect on the team. And I think that's how things can start to roll downhill faster. All right, that's 2015. Looking onward to 2016, let's kick some butt.
So there you have it. We mixed it up this episode, did things a little differently, and I hope you enjoyed it. In the next week or two, we kick off another series about founders and goals, how founders keep themselves accountable, and several other aspects of keeping yourself on track in the new year. I hope you'll join us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com. Used under Creative Commons.